Blog Talk Radio.
Talk show with your host, Wayne Cooper. So glad you could join us at 7 p.m. on the East Coast and 4 p.m. here on the West Coast. Got a hot topic for us today. I want to ask the question, why is everything about politics and race today? Why is everything about politics and race today? Before I go any further, I had lunch on Monday with a gentleman who is a professor at a local school. I won't call his name, but I had lunch with him, and he has listened to me talk for a few months now, and of course he's heard me in other settings in terms of speaking on Sundays, and he said something that encouraged me, and I wanted to share this with you leading into our show today, because he said to me, he says, Mr. Cooper, the one thing that I appreciate about you is that you're not so caught up in politics as much as you are seeking the truth in every matter. And I wanted to say that I appreciated his words to me, because that is what I am about. I am about seeking and speaking the truth, no matter what the subject is, okay? I know that we live in a time where people are governed by different things. You know, they are dictated by different groups of people and how they feel about different things in politics or in the culture as it relates to race and race relations and things of that nature. But whatever I deal with, I always try to find the truth in what I'm speaking about. So I have no hidden agenda. And this is why I decided to call this little show The Voice of Reason. I want to be a voice of reason. I want to be honest. I want to be fair-minded. And I want to just simply seek and speak the truth, no matter who perhaps will get offended or who will not like which side I come down on. I hope that I always come down on the side of truth. That is what I sincerely desire to do. And so today, we ask the question, why is everything in our society, and I'm talking specifically here, I'm starting here with America, but even if your antennas are wide open and you are really in tune with what's happening around the globe, you will find that everything seems to be revolved around politics and race. And I know that that is especially true here in America. And so I wanted to come and talk about this today. And if I have time, I'm prepared to take a few questions. So you can call in as a guest at 914-205-5527. That's 914-205-5527. So let's get right to it. So why is everything in our country, in our culture, in society, why is everything about politics and race today? You know, why do we always make it about that? And really, let's ask the question, what is really behind it, or who is behind it? But I want to deal with something specifically, because whether we are talking about violence in America, whether we're talking about just dealing with gun control issues, whether we're talking about art or poetry or voter ID, whether we're talking about Black Lives Matter, whether we're talking about the George Floyd situation that we see that's happening now on TV. I don't know whether you follow that. I only saw, to be fair and honest, I only saw just the opening day of that, so I haven't tuned in because I've been doing other things. But whether you're talking about the George Floyd situation, whether you're talking about the attacks on the Asian community, or even tragically, if some of you saw this situation with this Uber Eats driver that was killed because two young girls, because they were only 13 and 15 years of age, who attempted to hijack his vehicle, and they ended up crashing it, causing his death. And so whether we're talking about that, whether we're talking about defunding the police, and, you know, that's been going on for quite some time now, as I said, whether we're talking about violence in America or Black Lives Matters, gun control, all of that. And then even as we speak specifically in reference to the people who are in power, because I think I'm going to probably close on that note, because as we look back over it, though, let's just talk about it. So right now, if you pay attention, we simply cannot have a meaningful discussion about any subject unless politics and race is brought into the conversation. And I don't know about you guys, but, you know, eventually that gets old, it gets tired, and quite honestly, and frankly, I am just really sick of every time that I turn on the TV, and even if I'm interested in hearing about the daily news, I'm tired of pundits on, no matter what side they come down on, whether they're on the left or on the right, I'm just tired of always having to hear the politics that is within everything. So when we talk about the border crisis that we're having, you know, people don't want to call it a crisis because of who's in the White House now. But we all know that if the former president was still in the White House, and if what is going on down there was going on today under his administration, certain groups of people would have no problem with calling it or labeling it a crisis, okay? So whether they like it or not, I'm going to call it a crisis, okay? And because it is a crisis. And let me just say, because I want to seek and speak the truth, former President Donald Trump had the border, I would never say of any president that they had it fully under control, because let's be fair, the border situation and the immigration subject has been a sore subject for several decades now. So I don't want to place the blame on any political party or any president. I want to just say that our politicians in Washington has failed our nation, because this issue has been unresolved for a number of decades now, okay? But President Donald Trump did make an honest and earnest attempt to bring things at least under a manageable, I guess you could say, he wanted to manage it so that it would be manageable enough so that as people did come, that they could come in legally and they could go through the process that has been already given to the country. Now, he had obviously some agreements with other countries such as Mexico, and so we didn't see this onslaught of border crossings like we're seeing now with underage children being sent ahead by their parents. And by the way, what kind of parents would send your children ahead to go to a foreign country knowing that you have the coyotes or, you know, the smugglers, whichever name you prefer, that they are there to take your kids to the border, not given consideration that they could be raped and molested and taken into human sexual trafficking, that sort of thing? What parent who would do that because you don't like where you are? There is no way that a decent parent would do that, okay? And so now we're seeing the way things are. But what is going on? We're seeing that everything is about politics. And so when President Trump was in office, you know, people got angry. I could still see Joe Biden on TV. I could still see Kamala Harris on TV. All of them talking about what they would or would not do if they were in the leadership position. Well, they're in the leadership position now. And what are we seeing? We're seeing illegal immigrants crossing our borders. We're seeing illegal immigrant children are being sent ahead. And we're seeing the same children are now inside the cages that President Obama built in 2014 that people criticized President Trump for. And now all of a sudden, we want to give the cages a new name that is a little bit more polite. So now, rather than calling them cages, they are now being called pods. So that has a nicer ring to it. And so the Biden administration, for example, did not want to have any media at the border because they didn't want people, the American people, to see what was really going on. And so I saw just this morning where these so-called pods were housing children, and they only can hold up to maybe 80 or 90 kids, but there are several hundred that are inside of these cages, okay? And so, but all of a sudden, do you notice that the mainstream media, especially because they lean left, let's be honest, they are in the pockets of the Democratic Party. And so what are they doing now? You're not hearing. All you're hearing now are crickets because they don't want to acknowledge that the Biden administration has mucked up stuff that was fixed to at least to some degree by the Trump administration. And so there is a crisis there. And rather than us being honest and having integrity, we're busy trying to cover up and hide things because we're making this about politics and about race. And so we have that situation. So we need to deal with that. Then, as I stated, what's going on with the George Floyd situation? So I saw, the first day as the opening of the trial took place. And the trial took place, I guess Monday of this week, it started officially. And I heard a little bit of the prosecution's opening statement. And of course, they have a very powerful statement because no one can deny what we saw last year. I believe it was in May, what we saw, a man begging for his life with a mentally deranged police officer resting his knee on his neck and not understanding that he was literally snuffing out the life of a human being, okay? And so the jury has been seated. Now the prosecution is going through the process of presenting his case. And as you know, the way our system works, the defense will get their chance to try to find holes and in hopes that there could be some sense of doubt. Because in our system, as you know, if there is any sense of doubt in the case, then the person, that officer, Chauvin, can be found not guilty. But I'll tell you something. If he is found not guilty, you think we saw riots and buildings being burned down and people being beaten up and shot. I don't think we've seen anything yet if this police officer gets off. I personally believe that he will not get off. And let me just say for the record, I don't think he deserved to get off because he clearly killed a human being before the eyes of the world, okay? And so when we talk about justice, this has nothing to do with whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or whether you're on the left or the right. This has everything to do, hear me well, this has everything to do with human dignity. This has everything to do with right and wrong. And George Floyd was a human being created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. And no matter what you thought about his personal life, because I'll tell you one of the things that frustrates me is that whenever somebody is killed, someone that maybe come from the background of a George Floyd, one of the first things we want to do is look into his background and see perhaps what his criminal background is or his criminal history. And then depending on what that looks like, then we will determine whether he deserved to die or not. I don't care if he was a criminal. I don't care if he was a drug abuser or drug user. I don't care. None of those things is relevant in terms of what we saw with our own eyes, okay? And so, Mr. Chauvin, let me back that up. Mr. Floyd and his family deserves justice, and I hope that in this case that they will get it, all right? But the problem is that we're too busy politicizing it. We should not be politicizing George Floyd's death, okay? You know, that we're making it about, you know, white supremacists and, you know, the white race and all of that kind of thing. Listen, that people die, unfortunately, at the hands of people, and they die sometimes at the hands of the people who are their own ethnic group, all right? But it just so happened that this was a white police officer, okay, who contributed to the death of the man George Floyd. So I am just sick of how our politicians, rather than looking at this man with a sense of dignity and a sense of humanity, all they can see is that he was a black man. Even if he were a white man and the same police officer was resting on his neck and took out his life, that same man should be brought up on charges like he's been brought up, and justice should prevail. Even if he was white or Asian or Mexican, Latino, Hispanic, whomever, justice should be brought and prevail in it, all right? And then, of course, we're going through some things that has to do with the tax on Asians. I think that we are really seeing how politics is playing a role in all of this, okay? We're seeing this. I mean, where now we're being told that the white supremacists are the ones who are perpetuating these crimes against our fellow Asian Americans, right? Now, let me just say, I am sure that there have been some Asians who have been attacked and beaten up and of course killed by people who happens to be white, okay? We know the situation in Georgia, in Atlanta, was done by a 21-year-old young white man. Now, there is no evidence or indication that he was a white supremacist, okay? And yet, what is the first thing that we see, particularly with news outfits like MSNBC and CNN, ABC and CBS? They all looked at the fact that he was a white man and he attacked an Asian-owned business, a massage parlor. And so the police who were there all have said, and the investigation continues, of course, and maybe we will learn more, but up until now, all we know is that the young man has acknowledged that he had a sexual addiction problem and he used to frequent that very parlor, that massage parlor, and apparently he got involved with some of the women and has sexual relations. And listen, because he also attended church, he saw this parlor as a sense of temptation for him. Now, let me just be clear. I think it is the most asinine excuse that anyone could bring up to give as a reason why they took the lives of other human beings. But be that as it may, that's what he claims. He says that he saw the massage parlor as a source of temptation, and it was his sick way of trying to eliminate the source of temptation, that he wanted to eliminate that because he thought that in taking these people out, that would prevent him from going there. Well, I could have told him that would not solve his problems if, in fact, he has a sexual addiction problem, because all he would do is find another sexual a massage parlor. So he clearly was not thinking right. But let me be clear, lest anyone doubt my clarity, that his excuse is one of the most asinine excuses I've ever heard for anyone who gives a reason as to why they committed such a horrendous crime, okay? And like the person in George Floyd, I think this young man should be brought to justice. But let's get back to this. Why must politics play a role in this? Can I ask the question, does it really matter what ethnic group that this young kid belonged to? I mean, really, does it really matter? Do you think for one moment that the family members of the deceased give a hoot about what color or what ethnic group who killed their loved ones? I doubt that. I doubt that. Just put yourself in that place. Would it really matter who killed your loved one? I don't think so. But what happens? Rather than showing compassion for the family members of these people who were killed, all they could zoom in on was that he was a white man, and thus he was a white supremacist. It is absolutely pathetic that people who should know better play the race card, play politics with the lives of people. It doesn't matter what color this young man was, or what ethnic group he belongs to, or what church he attended. What matters is that eight people who were loved and appreciated, right, by family members and friends alike, they are now missing someone whom they cherished. And they will never again, at least in this life, be able to have fellowship. Now, I'm going to come back, but I'm going to pause for about maybe 30 seconds just for a commercial break. Stay with me. Don't go nowhere, because I'm getting ready to get deeper and heavy on this, okay? So don't go nowhere. I'll be right back in about 30 seconds. I'm back here. This is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. Again, at the end of the show, I hope to be able to maybe take a call or two. You can call in as a guest at 914-205-5527. So we're talking about, why is everything about politics and race today? And then, tragically, and by the way, let me set the record straight. White supremacists are not the primary culprits in the attacks on the Asian community. And I can tell you, as a citizen and resident of Southern California, we know that is definitely not true. Because first of all, in Southern California, we do not have an issue or a problem, I should say, with white supremacists. Now, because in the Deep South, when we have that problem, here's what was happening in the Georgia case. So when people were talking about the white supremacists, and when they continued to talk about white supremacists, they always seem to imply that the white supremacists are the Trump supporters. So you know they had to throw that in there, right? So they say, well, these are the Trump supporters who are perpetrating the Asian community. Well, let me blow that out of the water. In California, first of all, politically, we know that California is not Trump country. In fact, it is so much not Trump country that last year during the campaign, President Trump didn't even come to California to campaign because he knew he had absolutely no chance to win in California. And conversely, Joe Biden didn't step foot in California. You know why? Because he knew he was a shoo-in to win California. Because no Republicans ever win California. It is the bluest of all blue states in America, okay? So let's blow that out of the water when we talk about white supremacists are attacking the Asian community. Well, let me just tell you this. I've lived in Southern California for 26 years, and I can tell you who are the culprits who are attacking the Asian community. And it's not white people. It is black people. And it is, in particular, it is black young men. And we can verify that statistically, particularly in the major cities in this state. When we talk about Los Angeles, we can go all the way back to the Rodney King riots, okay, in 91, when that whole situation, all the way back then, and I'm sure even before then, but certainly from that point back in 1991, we saw live on TV where the black community and the Korean community were going at it, even to the point where the Korean community were on the rooftops of their businesses with rifles and shotguns prepared to shoot and kill the black people who were either looting their businesses or burning them down, okay? And that relationship has always been a very tense relationship. So when we talk about Los Angeles, when we talk about San Francisco, when we talk about Oakland, and even in the outer skirts of LA, all of that, the statistics clearly show that the vast majority of attacks on Asian Americans are from black young men. So, idea about white supremacists, no, we reject that. So, and not only do I reject it, but there are even Asians who have come forward and who have noted that this is just a smokescreen and it's just political by those on the left who want this to be the Trump supporters. Well, I'm sorry, California is not Trump country, and we don't have a problem with white supremacists. We may have other problems. We may have gangs and other things like that, but we don't have white supremacists. Furthermore, let me say this. White supremacists historically have hated and attacked the black community, not the Asian community. So if white supremacists are at it and hurting and killing people, how come they're not attacking and killing black people like what we're seeing what's going on in the Asian community? Okay? So I want to seek and speak the truth. And so then, of course, how many of you are familiar with this situation? It was so sad. This urban driver, his name was Muhammad Anwar. Muhammad Anwar. And what's so sad about this is that they are now learning, these two young women, now their names are not given because they're being charged with carjacking and with killing this Uber Eats driver. Listen to this though. One have already told the police that they orchestrated the hijacking of the car earlier that morning, that they had made an agreement that they would carjack somebody's car. And it just so happens to be Mr. Muhammad Anwar, and his car was there. And they jumped in the car, and the man wasn't going to let his car be taken. So what did he do? He tried to prevent it. So he literally jumped on like the steps of the car on the driver's side. As you saw the video, you know what I'm saying. And he held on for dear life, and these two young girls, only 13 and 15 years of age, just sped down the road, going extremely fast. They tried to turn, lost control, and the car flipped, throwing Mr. Anwar onto the cement, thus killing him instantly. And some of us have seen his body sprawl out on the cement. But isn't it interesting that we didn't get a lot of publicity from MSNBC or CNN or any of the other? I saw it on Fox. I heard about it on Fox. I saw the videos on other places, but not, on Fox I did, but not on those other stations. I turned. I wanted to know. I wanted to see. It wasn't much talk about it, about that situation at all. Think about it again. Two young girls, 13 and 15 years of age, they attempt to steal a man's car, right? And then they take off with him hanging on, and then they turn the car over, it flips, and the man is instantly killed as he's thrown to the cement. And then you know what was even tragic? Is that when they were getting the girls, the one girl was not even interested in what had happened to the man. Do you know what she said? I left my phone. I got to go back to the car to get my phone. I'm thinking, what parents raised these two children? What parents raised these two children? That they didn't even care about a dead man sprawled out on the cement. But they were not the only ones. There were other people around there, and nobody was trying to come to the aid of Mr. Anwar. They were just looking at him. Couldn't believe perhaps what they were seeing. But the only people who they seemed to be concerned about were these two young girls. Now, the question is, why didn't MSNBC and CNN make a big deal of this? Let me tell you why. Because this 13 and 15-year-old were young black girls. You understand? It didn't fit the narrative. Now, keep this in your thoughts. Imagine that these were two Caucasian young girls, and this was Mr. Anwar, who was a man of color. He was a Pakistani, right? He was an immigrant. And remember, right now in our country, we got some people who are just madly in love with immigrants. So imagine if these were two young Caucasian girls, what would we be hearing? And don't let this man would have been a black man and that took place. That your TV and minds would be bombarded with news story after news story about this situation. But isn't it telling that we don't hear much about it? Why? Because politics has come into play and race has come into play. Because these girls are black, we're going to give them a pass. They killed a man. They stole his car. And then they killed him through their recklessness. And now they're going to be charged, not as adults, but as juveniles, which means they're not going to spend all of their life in prison. So even they still have hope for a future, and Mr. Anwar no longer does because he was 66 years old and he's passed away. It's all about politics and race. Then we see it even when it comes to the defunding of the police. When George Floyd was killed, the first city to defund the police was Minneapolis, Minnesota. And then from there, we saw other cities, New York City, slash their budget. I mean, really bad. Chicago, our nation's capital, D.C., Seattle and Portland and Baltimore and other cities began to slash their budget, and they began to defund the police. But I have a question that I need to ask. If you were to slash the police, and you're talking about cities like New York City and Chicago and D.C. and Seattle and Portland and Baltimore and places like that, who do you think are going to reap what is done? Is it not going to be those cities where crime is already high? I mean, imagine you having the audacity to cut the budget in New York City or a place like Chicago or Baltimore. where we understand that this these cities have become so bad that they are what I call a live shooting range every single weekend in America. Every single weekend. I'm not talking about once a month or once every so often. I'm talking about every single weekend people are shot and people are killed. And you have the audacity to have a city council meeting to cut the budget for the police? What is this all about? It's about politics, because you're trying to appease those on the left, because you say the answer is not to have more police, but to have less police. And we all know, particularly people who live in high crime areas, they know that that was a major mistake. Because you know what the statistics shows? The statistics shows already the crime rate is so high. In fact, it is so high that it is the highest, it is at its highest levels in two decades. And guess who has paid the price? It is poor people. The ones, you know, that people claim to care about, you know, the one that people purport to be about, they're the ones who has paid the price, my friend. And since they have paid the price, they no doubt know that what happened with the police in terms of defunding the police was awful. And so some of them are now starting to, even Minneapolis now, are starting to have buyer's remorse, so to speak. They're starting to regret what they said, because now, again, the murder rate has skyrocketed, and it is now at a at the highest. In fact, I was reading about Chicago. Do you know that this time this year versus last year at the same time, there have been over 700 more car thefts than there were last year? That's how bad the crime has gotten. Okay, the murder rates, all of that stuff has increased in the cities that I mentioned, New York, Chicago, D.C., Seattle, Portland, and Baltimore. And we've been watching what happened all last summer in Seattle and Portland, how they have been acting a complete fool in the streets, because the police chiefs, I believe, in Seattle, a female stepped down. And then in Portland, I believe the chief retired. And so because of the defunding of the police, ladies and gentlemen, we are really confused and messed up in our country right now, all because we are allowing the politics. Now, I wanna in the 6 minutes or so that I have, here's what I wanna do. I wanna encourage you, first of all, but I wanna start with where this is coming from. And it's coming from the people who are in power, okay? The people that you and I vote into office, who are in Washington, and who spend all of their time bickering and fighting and all of that. And by the way, this whole issue about voter ID is one of the most ridiculous issues. And let me just tell you something. If you don't know by now, I am a man of color. I am a man from the African-American community. And let me tell you something. I believe wholeheartedly in voter ID, okay? I was just at the store earlier where I had to show ID. I've gone to restaurants where they've asked me, even as I paid for my meal, can I see your ID? Our policies have changed. I've taken my granddaughter to go to the movies and buy her at the concession stand a candy bar for $5 or $6, and they wanted to see my ID in order to pay for that with my ATM card. Come on, this is ridiculous. You know, the way that black people are treated in this country, as if we're some people who are so dumb and we're so wretched that we can't even have a doggone ID. Why wouldn't we have an ID? Why wouldn't any law-abiding citizen have an ID? We're not crazy. We're not imbeciles. Why wouldn't we have a voter ID? And so when I go to the voting booth, I want to know that when I get there, I don't want to hear someone tell me, well, Mr. Cooper, I'm sorry, but you've already voted because somebody without any ID walked up and used my name in order to vote. So I have no problems with requiring people to have to show their ID. We show IDs for a lot of other things. I got my COVID-19 shot. I had to show my ID to the VA office in order to get my shots. Whenever I go to see my doctor, they want to see my membership card, and then they want to see my ID. I could go on and on where people want to see your ID. What about for those of you who may consume alcohol? I don't consume alcohol, but what about for those of you who do? You go to the liquor store, they want to see your ID to make sure that you're the age that you're supposed to be in order to drink liquor. Let's get off of this nonsense and then making it about race and color and about politics. It is about having the proper ID so that you can show that you are who you say you are, so that when you cast your vote, it is a legal vote. That's what it is about. Stop making everything about race. But who's doing it? It's these people that you and I send to Washington. And why do they do it? First of all, notice that they've started stupid stuff about trying to make us to forget our history, right? Or to rewrite our history, tear down statues, tear down memorials, rewrite our history books as if history didn't happen. All of the dumb stuff that we fall for. How is it about removing a statue as a memorial, how does that impact my life for the better or even for the worse? Well, I can tell you this. I can speak for me. I can go to a museum. I can walk on a fairground or some other government grounds or state capitol, and I can see stuff from the old days during the Civil War and the Revolutionary War and things like that. I can tell you this, none of that stops me from being who I'm supposed to be. So I don't fixate on what was long before I was even conceived. I can still live my life in a productive and prosperous way, and so can you. So stop falling for the okey-doke. Why do these people do it? Well, they do it because they want to advance their policy. And then, of course, they want power. That's what it's ultimately about. That's why they want illegals to come in, because they want a bigger voting block. They want more power so they can win future elections. They don't give a darn about George Lord. Do you think Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all those people on the left care about George Floyd? I dare you to say you think they care. They do not care about him. They never cared about him before they had heard of him, and they never cared about him since he's been gone. And it has to do with their stupid racial doctrines, okay? So I'm about to close this, but I could say so much more, and I think I will, because I got so much more to say about it, but everything that we hear is being made about politics and race. And I want to just encourage you to do a couple of things. Stand up for what is right, ladies and gentlemen. Stand up for what is right, and don't allow yourself to be bullied into believing stuff just because others have an agenda, and that agenda is to cause you to placate to their own whims and their will, okay? So until the next time, this is Wayne Cooper with the Voice of Reason Talk Show. Take care, and I will see you again.